I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Mark's Gospel. It's the second of the Gospels. That first chapter, and we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 15 this morning. Mandy, do me a favor. Bring me back a glass of warm water. Would you do that? Thank you. If I talk too much, the tickle returns. Cold water just aggravates it. So, let's begin. Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel was written for Gentiles. And I would say that we're all Gentiles here this morning. So as we look at this Gospel, we know that the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to write this for us. For us. This passage of Scripture speaks to us. Mark presents Jesus as the ultimate service. Let's say that again. How about he represents Jesus as the ultimate servant, serving others. Mark emphasizes that Jesus did more. So Mark, as we read in a couple about last spring, I believe we did a Bible study on the book of Mark. But Mark emphasizes what Jesus did more than on what Jesus said. Now, if you have a red letter Bible or a Bible that pulls out the words of Jesus, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, this afternoon, just sit down with your Bible and just leaf through it. And you will find that Matthew, Luke, and John have a lot more red letters, Jesus speaking, than Mark. Mark emphasizes what Jesus did more than on what Jesus said. Mark wants to show us that Jesus is a servant. Well, Mark did not tell us anything about Jesus' birth. It's Christmas and you're going to read the Christmas story. You're not going to go to Mark. You're just not going to find it. You're not going to find it. Mark's Gospel begins with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus' ministry. And so just 9 verses into this first chapter, we are witnesses to the baptism of Jesus Christ. So let's begin reading with the 9th verse. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. Verse 14. Thank you. I'll be good. Verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. Verse 15, the time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. This is a very important passage of Scripture, as all Scripture is. But this one is particularly important to us as disciples, ambassadors of Christ, Christians in the world today. Scientists will talk about the Big Bang Theory. And we've probably all heard about it. You all know about the Big Bang Theory. It's a moment in time. Of course, we don't know if there was time. But there was a moment in time, they will say, when something, don't know what that something was, ignited, we don't know what ignited it, something else, we don't know what that something else was, and the universe, all of the galaxies, were the outcome. Now, isn't that amazing? They don't know any of the ingredients to anything, but yet it's a theory that is taught. And it's a theory that is believed by many, many people. The Big Bang Theory. A moment in time when something ignited something and the universe and all the galaxies were the outcome. So that's the Big Bang Theory in the world of science. Well, let me just take that and transition to Scripture. Today's passage, that first piece that I read for you about the baptism of Jesus Christ, is the big bang moment for us as Christians. For it is recorded for us, this event, the baptism of Jesus, is recorded in Matthew, it's recorded in Mark, it's recorded in Luke, and it is recorded for us in John. The Holy Spirit, directing the writers of the four Gospels, wanted us to get this piece of information. This is the passage which is the foundational scripture of our believing in the Trinity. We believe, the Apostles' Creed, we believe in God the Father, we believe in the Son, Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. This passage that we just read this morning in Mark, that is the big bang moment for us in the church when it comes to believing in the Trinity. Believing in the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And again, we read that in the Apostles' Creed. This moment, the baptism of Christ, the statement of the Trinity, we have God the Father, we have Jesus the Son being baptized, and we have the Holy Spirit descending in a dove. This is the moment in time when we read that and we see that as a word picture given to us in Scripture. But in reading Mark's Gospel, it is very short-lived. It's only three verses. It's only three verses. But it's very important for us. Mark tells us in verse 12, at once the Spirit sent him into the desert. At once the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was there for 40 days being tempted by Satan. Piece of information, very, very critical here, that Jesus was sent to the wilderness by his Father. Mark tells us that. So often I believe that if, for me anyway, years ago or even maybe up to just recently, if you talk about going into wilderness experience, I'm not going to say that God sent me into the wilderness. Okay? But this passage of Scripture very plainly tells us that God the Father sent Jesus into the wilderness. And like the season of Lent, and part of the reason we celebrate Lent is certainly as a man-made event, but the 40 days of Lent are spent like Jesus was spent in the wilderness, fasting, praying, reflecting on God, His Father. Mercy is remembering that we are human, we are frail. But God, our Heavenly Father, directed His Son to go somewhere, to isolate Himself, to have a time of, yes, temptation, but yet worship and communing with His Heavenly Father. So this morning I want to just take a few minutes and we're going to look at some of the word pictures or elements that we find in this passage of Scripture. In Mark chapter 1, verse 10, we're told that one of the elements of the Trinity came down as a dove. A dove, it's an element of, well, we see it everywhere. Valentine's Day was this week. It's an element of marital love. We see that. We see it in the church. There's the dove with the cross. A dove back in the 60s, 70s, the peace lovers of the day. The dove represents peace. We in the Church of the Nazarene, we use that in our logo. The dove in the middle over the Scripture, that's the Bible opened up, that's a dove. And if you want to, you can also see that as the flame of God's Word, the fire from God's Word coming up. So that middle piece is a fire, a flame, but it's also a dove. And so the dove is representative here. It says the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. What's a dove? Well, dove is a symbol of peace. It's a symbol of safety. It's a symbol of comfort. Noah in the ark, the story of the ark and the flood. What was the bird that he released? It's given to us in Genesis chapter 8. It was a dove. And the dove came back. And Noah knew it wasn't safe. And then he released the dove and the dove went off. And then Noah waited 7 days and then he knew that it was safe. And the psalmist tells us that we would arise on the wings of a dove. The dove is given to us in Scripture as a message of safety. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we sing the song, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. There's comfort. There is rest. Mark is giving to us, and the other writers of the Gospels are giving to us a picture that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus Christ to give Him peace, to give Him comfort, to give Him rest. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, we lean not on our own understanding, but we lean on God and His Spirit to lead us. So when Jesus was led into the wilderness by His Father, by the Holy Spirit, led into the wilderness, I'm going to say that Jesus had no fear. He had no fear. Because He knew that the Father was leading Him into a place where He was also going to be comforted by angels. And the Spirit was with Him. The Spirit of peace, the Spirit of safety was with Him. And so that imagery of the dove is with us. Whenever you see that, go beyond the imagery of a bird and go to the imagery of God's Holy Spirit and what it represents for us. And yes, in the 12th verse, we read that the Spirit led Jesus to a time in the wilderness. So there are questions. When you find yourself in a wilderness, do you consider that a good thing or a bad thing? Have you ever been in the wilderness, spiritually speaking? Or have you ever been in the physical wilderness and lost? And you know the despair of that moment of panic where it sets in and go like, "Ooh, I'm not really not sure where I am." That's happened to me a couple of times with Keith up in the Northwoods hunting. When you don't believe your compass and you try to make it out on your own, it's not a good thing. So wilderness times, are they good or are they bad? And it really depends on how you see them. Let me just share two things with you, two thoughts. First, if you find yourself in a spiritual wilderness, you need to ask the question, how did I get there? How did I end up in this spiritual wilderness? How am I in there? Why am I in this point of despair? Did my sin lead me to this wilderness? You have to ask yourself that question. How and why, where are you? You're in the wilderness. Why are you there? Did your sin put you there? Did your disobedience to God lead you there? Or did God lead you there, as we read in Mark's Gospel, the Holy Spirit led him there? Mark plainly tells us that God's Spirit led Jesus to the wilderness. So I'm going to say, even though Jesus found himself in the wilderness, he had no fear. Because he knows his Heavenly Father loves him. He knows that the Holy Spirit is with him. And when God is with you, when the Holy Spirit is with you, what can you be afraid of? Scripture tells us, don't be afraid of anything. For God's Spirit is greater than any spirit that's going to attack you. Fear comes when we yield to that and we go like, "Oh yeah, man, I'm getting beat up today." No. If you find yourself in a spiritual wilderness, cry out to Jesus Christ. Know that He is there with you and He will take care of you. As I was reading my notes again this morning or yesterday, I thought of Ellen. Where's Ellen? Hi, Ellen. Would you stand up for just a second, please? All right. I'm going to use her as an example, and I haven't said anything to her. And I don't know the whole story, but a couple weeks ago, Ellen, you had an accident, right? Did it hurt? You're supposed to say, "Yeah, it hurt," and I screamed and I cried. But you're a tough girl. You're a tough girl because you have two brothers. Anyway, I'm going to say to you that, and I'm going to maybe put some words in your mouth, Ellen, but you didn't feel good for a couple of days, did you? She fell and hit her mouth and messed up some things, right? What I want to bring to your attention, though, what I want to say about Ellen is that in a moment of despair, a moment of being in the wilderness, of being hurt, pain, I've heard that your mother asked you how you're doing, and you said, I had a conversation with Jesus, and everything's going to be all right. Is that true? Okay. All right. Ha! From children, can we learn a lesson? Can we learn a lesson? Here she was. She had a nasty accident. She looks really good. She looks great. The healing process is amazing. I didn't know if this morning when I saw her she'd be missing teeth or what the deal was. But yet, isn't it amazing that a child, knowing that God, our Heavenly Father, loves her and cares for her, found herself in a bad situation? How many days of school did she miss? None. Oh, she is tough nails. Wow. Wow. Okay, God was there. But in all of that, she acknowledged that even though it was a bad situation, things could have been a lot worse, whatever, she knew that because Jesus was with her, things were going to be all right. That's a great lesson for me to learn as an adult. It's a great lesson for all of us to learn as adults. When you find yourself in a bad spot, so often we complain, we gripe, we feel like, you know how it is. See what God wants to teach you in all of that? In that point of that pit of despair, don't fall into the temptation of the devil to give in, to turn your back on God. You see that as an opportunity that God has given you this experience, and as nasty as it is, God has something good to bring to you out of that. Wow. That's the wilderness experience. Jesus knew that He was there. The Holy Spirit led Him there. God, the Heavenly Father, said, I want you to go into the wilderness, and He went. And so, yes, the Satan came along and tempted Him, and oh, that was all tough. But yet, Jesus knew that His Father was with Him. He knew the Holy Spirit was with Him. And Ellen gives us a good example of that. So what do you do when you find yourself in the wilderness? What's your focus? Again, it must be Jesus Christ. It must be the Word. Pick up your Bible. Read your Word. Let it bring you encouragement. Pray. Let the Holy Spirit surround you. We are told in Scripture that the angels attended to Jesus. Wow, what a great word picture that is. Jesus is given to us in Scripture. God sent His Son to earth to be our example of how we are to act, react, and be obedient to the Father. And we have a great example of that just in these few verses. Go in the wilderness. And when you find yourself in the wilderness, why are you there? Did you put yourself there? Is it your sin that puts you there? Well, then you better confess. You better repent. God will forgive you. He will lead you out of that wilderness. But if God brings a physical ailment, something to your life, a relationship breakup, whatever it is that puts you in that pit of despair, seek God's help. And what does He have for you in that event? And God will come alongside you. His Spirit, He will be faithful to you to comfort you and to lead you forward. We must follow Jesus' example. We must use God's Word. And when Satan questions your salvation, don't argue or debate with him. Jesus could have gotten in a debate. He could have gotten in a theological debate with Satan. Right? But what did Jesus do? Well, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, tell us, let's read this together. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Whoa, that's big stuff. That's good stuff. All right? You will be saved from your sin. You'll be saved from your wilderness. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. When was the last time you used your mouth to profess your faith? Just throwing that out there as an extra. But let it speak to you this morning, as it has spoken to me. When Satan tempts you to covet your neighbor's stuff. I had somebody come in my office early. Well, it was Dennis. He was here a day early to tune the piano. He comes into my office. He says, I didn't know if you'd be here or not. He said, I saw the red truck, but he said, don't you drive something else that's red? And he was referring to the red Corvette that a friend has let me drive the last couple of years. I said, Dennis, that's not mine. But he thought that I owned a red Corvette. Well, nice, Dennis, but I don't. Okay? I'm content with God's blessing of that red pickup. But often in life, temptations can come our way and we're tempted to covet somebody's stuff. Oh, the other day I pulled up alongside. Oh, I'm not going to go there, okay? Because I had to go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs. Let's read this together. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Jesus Christ. What do I need? What do I need? I need Jesus Christ. I need Jesus Christ. All other stuff is just stuff. What do you need? What do you need? Don't sit down with the devil and get your pen out and go, well, I need, and you come up with a list of 14 things you need. Scripture tells us that you get Jesus Christ and everything else will just fall into place, right? That's right. If I had to ride the old bicycle around town, I'd ride the bold bicycle. But Jesus is going to get me to where I need to be, all right? And my God will meet all my needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. What do I need? I need salvation. I need forgiveness of sin. I need His Holy Spirit abiding in me. Everything else is just stuff. Jesus walked the walk and He talked the talk. And His example is clear to us. The message is clear to us. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 that we read says it all. And this is important. This is it. Let's read this together. The time has come, He said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent and believe the good news. That's it. What is the good news? What is the good news? Jesus is the Son of God. We see that in Mark, those first verses that we read, 9, 10, and 11. Jesus is the Son of God. God came down and said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. We know that He loves us and He shows that love to us and for us by showing up in a wilderness. Now, whether you lead yourself there through sin, we know that He'll be there to forgive you of that sin and lead you out of the wilderness. But if you find yourself being led there by Him, know that there is something special that He is wanting to teach you and show you about His grace and His mercy. And Jesus shows us that. In our community, there are many who see Lent as a self-proclaimed walk in the wilderness of fasting. And if you've had conversations with some of your friends who are members of the liturgical churches in town, they may have asked you the question, what are you giving up for Lent? What are you fasting for Lent? That's not a part of our tradition experience. And so we don't ask that question of each other. But you know what? I'm going to challenge you this morning in your prayer time and in your scripture reading and in your devotional time. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Is there something that you are doing, not necessarily eating, but something that you're doing that for the 40 days of Lent you could give up? Now, it needs to be given up with a purpose. If I say I'm going to give up olives, I wouldn't eat one anyway, so that's not a big deal, right? But It needs to be with a reason and a purpose. I'm going to give up something that I can set aside, that I will take that time, I will take that energy, whatever it is, and give it to God. That's fasting. I'm going to give up something with a purpose and a reason. The purpose and the reason needs to be God-centered. So giving up a food item, that's great. But I would say that we should give up TV time, smartphone time, self-indulgent time, whatever that is. Fasting of time is important. Experience God more. Fasting, extra prayer time, extra scripture reading. You see the little extra scripture reading thing I gave you? And I would dare say, being human, that when you picked that out of your bulletin this morning, you kind of went, oh, I already read scripture enough. Why do I need this? Well, that's a very prideful spiritual statement, and I will pray for you if you said that. Because we should always have the heart that we never get enough of Scripture. We never get enough of God's Word. So be given the opportunity to read, be united together in reading those passages of Scripture. If we're going to be the answer to God's or Jesus' prayer about unity in the church, it must be something that we join in on. So you never get enough Scripture reading, so I just give you that each and every Sunday as a little extra time spent with God. And all of that is good. If you fast, you want to pray more, you want to read Scripture more, you want to worship God more, listen to more Christian music, turn off whatever else you listen to, that's great. It's all good for our spiritual journey. And I'm going to suggest, I'm not your parent, I can't tell you to do what you should do. I am God's servant, so I guess in that element, yes, I can. But I want to suggest to all of us today that we follow Jesus' example and all that He did. He let the Holy Spirit lead Him. Are we a congregation who lets God lead us? Are you a person who lets God, the Father, the Word, His Son, and the Holy Spirit lead us in our spiritual walk? And yes, Lent is a man-made event, but I will say to us, say to you, that we should seize the opportunity to take these 40 days of Lent and use them for intense spiritual searching of ourselves, inviting the Holy Spirit to search us, as the psalmist would say, "Search me, O God. And see if there be any wicked way in me. If there's anything in me that needs to be cleansed, I give it to you." Take these 40 days of Lent leading up to Easter Sunday. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. He knew that He was led into the desert by His Father, the wilderness. And when Satan came along and tempted Him, as you are tempted and as I am tempted, what did He do? He used Scripture. He did not get into a debate with Satan over the temptations, but He used Scripture to defeat Satan. And you will know Scripture only as you read it, as you let it become a part of your, as you memorize it, as it becomes part of your thinking process. Those Scriptures will come back to you when you need them the most. When you find yourself in that wilderness experience, let God's Word come back to you. Scripture tells us that God is seeking to save the lost. He is out there drawing us to Him. I want you to experience that and know that God is drawing you to Him. And you will find that to be true as you spend time in His Word, as you spend time praying, as you spend time worshiping Him. Know that God loves you. When you find yourself in a wilderness experience, you find yourself a little spiritually dry, whatever, however you want to describe that, know that He is with you, and His Word is always there with you. Draw from it, and He will satisfy your need. Let's pray. I invite you to stand. Father, you have given to us this passage of Scripture. It's given to us in each of the four Gospels. It's important. It's important. Father, take these words this morning from Scripture. Let them speak to our hearts. Let us follow the example of Jesus Christ, knowing that we rest no matter where we're at. We rest, we find peace when your Spirit comforts us. And so, Father, as life happens to us, we give you praise. We give you praise. Father, let us be a blessing to someone today. Let us speak of our love for you and your love for us. Wow. Let us tell that story today. In Christ's name, we will be obedient today. Amen. Go and be a blessing.